You might say we took a service today and we honored fathers and we watched a video and we were able to see people stand and all these things. And what about the service? What about the message? And you've been listening to the message. You've been watching the message. And there are things going on behind those things that you have no idea about. Those last pictures that you saw of the house sitting alone are one of our projects that we did, which was be able to do a 24-hour exterior makeover and interior to finish up some things on a house that Josh Owens is going to be moving into. Yeah. Now, the first time that he saw it was just when you saw it. So, we love you. Looking forward to getting everything squared away. Josh has spent most of his adult life not having a house to live in that he had anything that he had ownership in. And so God has provided and made a way for him to have something but just besides just a room. And he has provided all the means to do it. And the people that worked together knowing that worked with such a zeal and desire to know that it's going to make a difference in his life. And if you spend any time around him, he will give you way more than you've ever thought about giving him. To God be praised for all that. Amen. We've been blessed, yeah. We've been blessed. How many people feel you've been blessed? Amen. What a great segue for the message that I happen to have. Blessed. If I were to say, God bless you today, you would think somebody sneezed, right? Well, I need to let you know that we had one of our congregants in the first service that right on cue sneezed twice, so it worked out. Couldn't have worked out better. That's something that we say today. It seems to be just something that we say when someone sneezes. Do we think about God bless you when we say God bless you? And I want to talk about being blessed today and be able to talk about Father's Day and being blessed and have that all rolled into one. And yeah, I realize what time it is, and this message was geared for today, and we'll let God speak and work this out. When we say the word blessed, I wonder if we really think about what being blessed means. And do we just say, God bless you, and leave it to God? Is there anything that we can do about saying, God bless you? Is there anything that we can do to take that further than just saying, God bless you, God bless you, God bless you? Do we have a part in it? Well, I want to tell you today, we do have a part in it. Now, you have no power like God has, but you have a part in helping someone else be blessed. To be blessed, by definition, is a different definition than maybe an unbeliever would have. But to a believer, someone who has accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, to the believer, the definition of blessed is to have God's favor on you and to be rewarded in life. To have God's favor and be rewarded in life. Would you say that's a good definition of being blessed? To have God's favor. That means God has shown favoritism to you. Oh, you've been blessed. Yes. The parents or the fathers that stood up today and you had children. I said, are you blessed? Yes, we've been blessed. Why? Because God showed favor on you and he let something happen with you and you were blessed. The opposite of being blessed, of course, would be to be cursed, right? Now, if I were to roll this into one definition, I would like to say to be blessed by God is to have divine favor. Divine favor, of course, lets us know God is putting his favor. It's a lot different than my favor or your favor. It's divine favor. So let me ask your fathers today, are you blessed? Let me ask you the next question. Do you want your children to be blessed? Do you know that as we read the Bible, we look through the Old Testament, it was the father's job to pass the blessing along to the children? You look through Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and look down through the Old Testament. How many people have read the Old Testament? You see the blessing was passed down. It was up to the father to pass the blessing. I want to tell you that today, in part, God still puts that accountability onto the fathers. The father passes the blessing to his children. How? How does he do this? He passes the blessing by being obedient to what God commands him to do as a father. What blessing does a father have? If a father is a Christian father, he has been blessed with fellowship with God Almighty. Amen. That is the blessing he is supposed to pass to his children. Now, two places I want you to turn today, and we won't be at either one of them a long time, but both of them are so powerful. Ephesians chapter 6 and Psalms chapter 1. Ephesians 6 and Psalms 1. When you find your place, say, I have it. In Ephesians 6, Paul was given instruction to parents, to children. And when he got to the fathers, basically in translation, this does mean parents, not just fathers, but we're speaking to fathers today. In Ephesians 6, chapter 4, Paul wrote this, "Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up." Say those three words with me, bring them up.
Bring them up.
One more time. Bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Now, the father is commanded, first of all, here not to be overbearing, domineering. That person in their child's life that continually humiliates or opposes the child until the child resents them. That is provoking your child to wrath. That is not the father's job. He is not to be dictator of the home. He is not to be the master of the home. He is not to be the one that everybody walks on eggshells and fears. But there is supposed to be a reverent fear of him. That's not being afraid of him. That's a reverent fear of him. That father is not supposed to provoke the child to wrath. It says the father, the second part, is commanded to help bring, and we read this, bring the child up. Bring them up. Say it with me again. Bring the child up from a child to an adult in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Two different words here. Nurture and admonition of the Lord. This means that in nurturing, that father is supposed to provide. That father is supposed to protect. And that father is, above all, supposed to love. That's nurture. But then it says admonition. That means to admonish. That means to discipline. Do you know that the father is in charge of the discipline of the house? He's accountable. As we've learned in our Bible study that we learn on families, that's a big part because the Bible tells us, even God in Hebrews says, he chasteneth who he loves. That father is accountable to make sure that there's a discipline in the house. But it's amazing here if we look at the precise words Paul uses. He says the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. This means that the father is supposed to nurture his children and admonish his children in the Lord. What does this mean? Not by what the father thinks, but by what God said is right. Now, I'm a father that has all kind of theories and ideas, but unless my theory or idea matches God's, I'm not right. And neither is any other father. It's not the best book that someone just wrote. It is not this idea that society has. God has told us how to be fathers. And anything that we do that steps outside of what God said is right is wrong. God calls that righteousness. You see, the father doesn't have a blessing of his own to give to the child. The father has no divine blessing. Anthony, as good a father as you are not divine. You're a sinful man, right? So am I. I have no divineness I can pass on. So my job is to pass on the divine blessing that was given to me. So I have to pass God's blessing along, not my blessing. My blessing is good. Yes, I'll say, yes, you have my blessing or not. I agree with you. I agree with this. I agree with that. But God's blessing is what's more important. In studying this topic, knowing that all these things were going to be incorporated today, God brought about a picture in my mind that I want to paint for you today. It's helped me. Because understand, that child that someone has will never receive the blessings of God, the true blessed feeling, until that child is introduced to God and introduced to Jesus Christ, which is their only way to get to God's blessing. God's blessing is to pour His love upon that child. God's blessing is to have that child have fellowship with Him. God's blessing is to have that child have eternal life in His presence. That's God's blessing. You can't give that child that, but you can introduce them to the Father that can. I learned some years ago that the Bible gave me instructions on what I should, as a child of God, me being a child of God, what I should do to be blessed, and what I should teach as a father to my children so that they would be blessed. I can't say that I've done the greatest job teaching this, especially in the earlier years when I felt like my biggest job was to be as financially secure as I could to give them that, or to introduce them into as much pleasure and fun as I could introduce them to, or to give them things that I could never give them, or that I could never have when I was a child. That was my role as a father. And I remember nights as I walked by my babies, four of them, there in the house going out to work for them so that I could make that little bit extra. I realized what they needed was for me to turn around and shut the door and come back in and be with them. And I learned a lot by error. So I don't stand before you today as the world's greatest father. I stand before you today as a work in progress. I want to share with you what God says I should do. He made it clear. It's in a place in the Bible that's near to my heart. I've used this for my life. I learned this scripture at a young age, but I've applied it in my entire life, and it's helped me. Turn to Psalms 1, if you would. Psalms 1. This passage of Scripture makes a distinction between all human beings, every human being. And it defines my role as a father, yours as a father. When we read this, you will see that it speaks to those who are blessed and those who are not blessed. It speaks to those who are godly and those who are ungodly. It speaks to those who are trying to live righteous and those who are not trying to live righteous. The difference in these two kinds of people is that one of them will bring forth fruit. They will prosper. Their lives will never wither away. And the other group, they're not stable. They'll not be able to withstand the judgment of God. In other words, this other group, when they stand in front of God, which is what we all will do, they won't make it through the judgment. They won't be able to stand. That's what the scriptures say. They won't be able to make it through and get God's blessing. And ultimately, the way that they've chosen in life will perish. It will not last. But their eternity is going to last forever. So you see, it defines two different groups. You say, well, what does this have to do with fathers? Well, it has a lot. This week, I was picking through trees at the nursery to see which one we wanted to plant. It was on my mind planting them, and I was thinking about what had to go in and what was going to happen. And God brought all these things together as we were planting trees over here. And I realized that in my life, I've made my job as a father a little bit more complicated than it needed to be. You see, I realized that if you read Psalms 1, God shows us a picture of what we actually need to do. He starts with a word at the beginning. That word is blessed or blessed. Say it with me. Blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, or standeth in the way of sinners, or sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in this law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in season, and his leaf also shall not wither. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. We'll talk about trees a little bit today. He says a whole different group. I'm seeing a picture here of a tree planted by the rivers of water, right? That's bringing forth fruit. And I equate that to being blessed. And that's what he's equating to being blessed. But then he goes on to say, the ungodly are not so. It's different with the ungodly. They're not so. They're like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Chaff is the outside hull, the outer shell on a piece of wheat. It's so unstable. People beat it and thresh it to get it off because you can't eat it. It has no root. It has no grounding. It blows where the wind blows. No stability. It will not last. Therefore, he goes on to say that the ungodly will not be able to stand in the judgment. The sinners will not be able to sit in the congregation of the righteous. That means they're not going to be in heaven. Two different distinct groups. You say, well, what does this have to do? Well, I realized this week, you see, the blessed man is the one that's planted by the rivers of water. The other is the piece of shaft that's so unstable, it's never going to be planted or rooted or grounded in God. And so it lets me be able to know that my job is not just to be that tree planted by the rivers of water, but to keep producing trees. It's all about what we plant. And so I want you to bear with me here as we think about this, because I saw some pretty neat things, and I'm going to try to be as timely as I can. You see, that tree that's planted in Psalms 1, that tree that's planted, I can look at that tree as my child. Well, why? Because that tree came from this tree. So I have to look at where God tells me to be planted to be blessed if I want the trees that come from me to be blessed. First of all, that tree is planted by the rivers of water. What does that mean? Listen, the rivers of water does not apply to some body of water. The rivers of water is a spiritual reference to the presence of God. The rivers of water mean that you're planted as a tree. And he gives you the picture. When the drought comes, when everything dries up, do you know what is still green? Do you know what is still thriving? Those things that are planted by the rivers of water. And the Bible tells me that Jesus Christ himself is the living water. And if that living water is put to you, you'll never thirst again. So it gives me these passages to draw from to let me know that if I want to be blessed, I need to make sure I have a good flow of water coming to me. That water is the Word of God. Now, if I look in my life, I have the written Word of God, which I can pick up and read. If I'm near that water, I'm going to be flourishing, right? Because I'm hearing the Word of God. The next Word of God that I have is the preached Word of God, the taught Word of God. You're hearing that today. You go without hearing the preaching or teaching of the Word of God, and I will guarantee you, your leaves will begin to wither, won't they? But you put yourself back in the taught Word of God, you'll be the best husband, the best father, the best parents you could be, because the Word of God will feed you and strengthen you. So it says, plant yourself beside the rivers of water, the preached and taught Word of God. Number four, if the Holy Spirit is in you, you've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You have the Holy Spirit. That's the Word of God that tells you things. When you pray to him, when he speaks back to you, when he influences your mind, those are rivers of water. What does that help me do? That helps me bring forth fruit. My job is to plant trees. What do you mean? I don't have apples, right? Throw me a couple of fruity snacks, will you? This is my fruit. Fruity snacks. Blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, or stands in the way of sinners, or sits in the seat of the scornful. The Bible tells me what not to do. Don't put myself in situations where I'm doing things that God says are wrong. Don't condone them. Never compromise the Word of God. Don't run with people that are doing things that God said is wrong. Don't accept it. Don't believe it. Walk not in the counsel of the ungodly. Listen, I'm a sinner myself. I don't need any more influence, right? Don't stand in the way of sinners. What does that mean? It means if a sinner is standing this way, don't stand this way. Don't act like them. Don't sit in the seat of the scornful. Don't mock God. But make my delight in the law of the Lord. What is the law of the Lord? The law of the Lord is the word of the Lord. In this law, meditate day and night. What does that mean? Meditate. I've given you this before. It's beautiful. Meditate means ruminate. That's the translation from the word ruminate. What does ruminate mean? Well, for those of you that have been on a farm before, it's one of the greatest things in the world to watch. You have a cow that's in the pasture. Understand that cow has many stomachs. That cow will chew its food, and it will regurgitate. It will ruminate that food up, and it will go to another stomach, and then it will come back up and go to another stomach. How many people have watched this process happen? What happens is a big ball will hop up in their jaw, and they will chew on it. Listen, it was a little boring in Tyro sometimes. Me and my brothers did watch this and say, look, it's going to happen. 3 seconds, 2 seconds, 1 second. There it is, see? That's real fun, guys. Listen, they would ruminate. You know what the Bible is saying? Take the Word of God, eat it, bring it back up, eat it, bring it back up, eat it, bring it back up, meditate on it. Deuteronomy says, talk about it when you go in your house, when you go out, put it on the doorpost. Ruminate, meditate on it, day and night. And if you do, you will be like that tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth its fruit in season, and whatsoever you doeth shall prosper. Do I want my children to prosper? I do. But do you know that I can't be their tree? But I'm the tree that their tree comes from. Now get this. If I'm the tree that their tree comes from, then do you realize that I need to make sure that I'm in that state of being blessed before they can be blessed? Well, what do you mean? The Bible says that me having children means, and he uses this term, be fruitful and multiply. I'm a tree myself. My fruit are my children. If I'm planted by the rivers of water, that means the dirt around me is good growing dirt, right? It's making my leaf not wither. When my fruit drops, it's dropping in the dirt that I chose to be in. Get this now. If I chose to walk in the counsel of the ungodly, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of the scornful, I'm dropping my fruit into that same place that I've decided to plant myself into. But when I take a stand and say, I'm not going to be planted in anything but the rivers of water, then my children have a chance to be planted in that same fruit. And it's not the fruit. Understand, when that apple drops, if nobody sees that apple drop, that apple doesn't get eaten. It ain't about the apple, it's about the seed that's in the apple. Because that seed grows up and it becomes a tree. This is beautiful. So God tells me to be a tree planted by the rivers of water. Men, how about it? If I want my children to be a tree, don't worry about that first. You make sure you're planted where you need to be. If you ever want that fruit to have a chance. Oh, by chance, a bird may come by and pick up that seed. If that person doesn't have a godly father in their life, God makes provisions for some other person to come by and pick up that seed and plant it somewhere. But I don't want that to have to happen to my kids. I'm responsible for them, right? I'm accountable for them. I want to make sure I'm by the rivers of water, because life's about planting trees, fathers. Life's about bearing fruit. You've heard the old phrase, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. It's never been truer until you apply it to here. When the Bible said, as we began to read, bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, that means raise them up. Have you ever heard the phrase, born and raised? Somebody asked me, hey, where are you from? I was born and raised in Tyro, North Carolina. Well, let me tell you something. My mother represents where I was born. Why? I want to be born wherever my mother's born. But raised, that's on my dad. You said, no, that's on your mom too. It's on my mom, but my dad is accountable for my raising. My mother's accountable for birthing me and then helping to raise and nurture, but all of it comes back on my dad. Why? Because he's the tree. How about that? Praise God that he gives us a picture to look at. So what's our takeaway? Our takeaway today is, number one, before I look at anybody else's fault, before I look and say my children aren't doing this, I better make sure, first of all, I'm planted by the rivers of water. You say, I feel like I'm not planted. Guess what? He says, come to the water today, right? He that comes to me will never thirst again, right? If you're in this place and you've never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior today, he will save you today. You say, what do you mean? He's looking for you to have a realization today. Listen, I've never accepted Jesus as my Savior. I don't care if you believe there was a God. The devil believes there's a God. The Bible says that we have to come to him and confess, I'm a sinner. I'm separated from you, God, because of my sin. I believe Jesus died for my sin. Please use his blood to cover my sin. Come into my heart. Be my Savior. Guess what? You become today a child of God, and he plants you by the river of water. The Holy Spirit will begin to speak to you, and you will have an option for the rest, whether you want to come hear the preached word of God, the taught word of God, and read the written word of God. But if you're doing that, I will guarantee you that the seeds that you are dropping on a daily basis, and what's growing around you in your households and families, they'll be in that river of water too. They won't be able to help it. Well, then it's on those trees to do what they're going to do. But do you realize that's the succession of blessing that God gives us to make sure that we will prosper? How beautiful is that? That's way better than any plan I've ever come up with. What about you? So my question today is, are you planted by the rivers of water? Do you know that you know beyond a shadow of a doubt there's been a time you've accepted the Lord as your Savior? If there's not, please come. We'll pray together today. Get there. Make God your Father. Confess to him you have sinned. He'll forgive you of that if you believe that Jesus will do it. And if you've done that today and you've been blessed, you have children, you realize there's children need to be in that river of life, or you need to do whatever, you've got something to talk to God about today too. Fathers, mothers alike. The picture's pretty clear. Let's don't complicate it. We're planting trees here. We're raising trees. When I say born and raised, the Bible tells me bring them up. Bring them up is another word for raise them, right? Raise them in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Father God, I love you and I praise you and I thank you for this day you've given us. I thank you for your mercy and your grace. I just pray, Father, that today you take your message, plant it upon our hearts. Let us be able to see exactly what you would have us to see. Speak to hearts here today, God. I pray that if there's someone here today that's never accepted your Son Jesus as their Savior, Lord, they would have the boldness to come and pray to you today. I pray, God, for all those that are here, that we can see the bigger picture today. The picture that lets us see that what we're doing is planting trees. Lord, with no trees, we can bear no fruit. We know that. We just thank you for the opportunity you give us. We thank you, Lord, for your blessings. In Jesus' name, amen.